You know, Ed, over the years that we've worked together, we've talked about the internet and the privacy issues, but with social media, it's come to the new level. You know, when Ed and I were talking about this, we first off, of course, we always knew they were collecting data on us, Ed. And I don't know that people should be surprised. Maybe what it is we have such an intimate relationship with social media that we feel that we're being sold out by a friend. I was wondering if maybe that's an aspect of this.
Well, I don't doubt that that's an aspect of this. This is kind of like we used to have this discussion quite a bit. It's about you give an inch and they take a mile. And back in the early days of Facebook and Twitter and the others, when myself and other pundits were warning that they were taking our data, they were using it, they were going to use it to make money off of, because they have to make money somehow. They're going to use this. They're selling our data. Everybody said, oh, but it's not that big a deal. This is stuff we don't care about. It's not all that important. Well, after a while, it starts to become important. And this is what we're seeing happen today. We're seeing the realization that the data they collected can be used to create psychological profiles. We've known that for years. And those psychological profiles can be used to manipulate anything from what we buy to who we vote for to how we feel about a topic.
Yeah, and that's interesting, Ed, because, see, that differentiation, I don't think I was so, as a matter of fact, in preparation of this, I've talked to several people, and they said, if it helps me and makes my day and they know what I want and they show me things that I want and it helps me through the process, I don't mind. And I was surprised at how many people said that, by the way, because you and I come from a different time when the expectation of privacy was different. But here's the thing. When it starts to being used for political motives, that I think maybe that breached some type of trust as well.
Well, but it's always been used for political motives. I think it's interesting you make the comment about the expectation is different. The concept of universal privacy is actually fairly new. It didn't exist before like the 90s. And what I mean by universal privacy is the concept we used to have was, if I'm in my house and I close my door, it's private. If I go down to the pub and I'm talking to my buddies and I say something, well, the whole town's going to know what I said. Right. If I said it on my telephone on my party line, well, the whole town's going to know what I said. But if I'm in my home, in my bedroom, and my door closed, it's private, and that's the end of it. Well, the internet's the extension of being out in public. And yet somehow we've now created this illusion that we have privacy on the internet. That there's just a simple truism people have to understand. The minute you go on the internet, your privacy doesn't exist.
You know, it's interesting. When Ed and I were talking about this, he kind of ran through a scenario which kind of has really kind of scared me now that I've had a couple of days to think about it, Ed. And this is about how, you know, you can take a large group of people, which is actually, oddly enough, done in Isaac Asimov's Foundation, by the way, and I know you're a science fiction writer, that you know it's called Psychodynamics in that particular book, where you can manipulate. You don't know what an individual is going to do, but you do know what a large group will do. Can you run down that scenario?
Well, basically, the book was called the Foundation Series, and the principle was that a group will tend to perform. The bigger the group, the easier it is to determine how it's going to perform. So the scenario Tom and I talked about was we're all scared of how this data was mined and used, but what we don't understand is the level of control companies like Google and Facebook have over shaping the way our society thinks. Let's use the most recent presidential election as the example. If Mark Zuckerberg had woke up one morning and decided he was going to make sure Hillary Clinton won the election, he could have, with the flip of a switch. It's that simple. The flip of a switch on a computer could have made the change, because he could have woke up one morning with the data he had and made sure that he sent out a post that was only to and people that leaned left on their philosophies. And it could have been on election day, go vote. A number of analysts have looked at this scenario and have said that as many as 500,000 additional votes could have been put into the system with that approach. And that would have been 500,000 votes for just Clinton, with just that approach. If that doesn't scare you enough, then let's look at Google. Google can control search analytics, and they do it all the time for companies that pay them. So that when you go search for something, they can stack the list in an order that is going to make you look at a certain area first. This can be used to shape opinion. This can be used to force direction of thought, all sorts of different things that can be done with this. Again, if Google were to decide to jump full force into one side of an election, the numbers now jump to closer to 1 million to 1.5 million votes they could influence.
Right. You can suppress the vote as well then against the people you don't want, up it. And basically, that's what Cambridge Analytics did with the information they got from Facebook. That was their idea, to be able to wage war for a campaign in a really a growing arena. And what's interesting, the last presidential election was not the first time it was done. Facebook, some of the people who've been there for a long time came out on Twitter and said, we did the same thing for the Obama administration. They were considered geniuses for doing it.
Right.
And in fact, Facebook caught them doing it, and a wink and a nod, and said, that's all right, we're on your side, go ahead and do it.
Well, it wasn't just that. Go back quite a few years. You'll recall, they had to change the way elections were called by news services.
Yes.
Because what was happening was news services had good data and were able to call elections often hours before polls closed. But the concern was, and rightly so, they proved this to be true, that would suppress voter turnout. So they forced them to no longer, you can't call a state until, 2 hours after it's closed?
Right. Well, I think hours. I know the Associated Press called an hour and 24 minutes after the primary on last Tuesday, 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've got to wait, though, till the polls close, because
right.
Otherwise you can change voter turnout.
Yep.
And they discovered that the news agencies, this was before the internet, and we knew we could do this.
Yeah.
This type of manipulation has been done in advertising. It's been done with all these different companies for years. I think the really funny thing is we're so excited. We've made this a political issue. We've made this us versus them in a political issue. And this isn't us versus them in a political issue. This is us versus ourselves and our decisions to the level of privacy we expect for free.
Yep.
And this goes back to something you and I've discussed a lot. What if you could take Facebook? What if you could have all the aspects of Facebook? But now here comes the but. We're going to remove the ability for them to track you. We're going to make sure that they can't keep your data. We're going to give you privacy on Facebook. You have to pay $100 a year. Most people wouldn't pay the $100 a year. They'd say, "Why should I? It's free."
Yep.
But it's never free.
Right.
Somebody
has to pay for it. And that's the thing, you know, and I was remembering last night, Dave England and I were going, how can Facebook be valued so highly and make nothing?
This is how.
And make nothing, and this is how. I think the last figure I saw, which was just maybe a month or a little more ago, that each user on Facebook is worth $27.
Oh, I'd say it's higher than that.
Yeah. But that was a published article, and I thought that was interesting. And you've got Edward Snowden saying, look, they're marketing themselves as a social media company when they're actually just a surveillance company. And what's interesting is you can control some of this by going to your Facebook settings now, because anytime you play one of those little silly games, what color are you, what great rock band you are, you're giving somebody permission to access your friends. And your list. So, you know, there are settings. And if you say, well, you play the game once, you can go back in there and deny them those permissions. You'll see them on your security page, and you'll see the icons, and you'll probably be surprised how many people over a period of time that you've said, it's okay to look at my stuff. But, you know, when it come to, I think people were maybe a little surprised, Ed, that because you're on Facebook, that they know who you called and how long you spoke to them. I think that shook a lot of people.
Well, it's on the phone app. We want all these apps on our telephones. I mean, between me and you, I think the smartphone is the bane of society, not the boon. And we want all these apps on our telephone. Well, you go get these apps. You get the Facebook app, and it wants to keep track of where you're at. Okay, well, that kind of makes sense for you to post the location you're at. And then you start looking at everything that it wants to keep track of. It's everything. You go to get a bowling game
yep.
on your phone, and it wants to know your physical location
right.
and access your contact list. Well, it doesn't need that information, but you can't play the game without it. There's an analogy I think we need to start drawing with social media in general that a lot of people are going to scoff at the analogy, but it's very true. Remember when AIDS came out? We were told who you slept with was not who you actually slept with. It was everyone they slept with and everyone that they slept with. You had to go back multiple generations of sexual partners idea of who you were actually sleeping with when it came to the passing of AIDS. Well, it's the same thing with social media. It's not just a matter of who you have friends with, but who they have friends with and who they have friends with. You can tie down your Facebook to make it as tight as you want it to be, but if you're friends with one person and they share one little bit of information, that just got shared with thousands, no matter the fact that you didn't want it to be.
All right, Ed, you basically we just scared the heck a lot of people. So,
but they should be scared. The internet has, and we've always said this, the internet has the potential to be an amazing thing. It gives us access to information. It lets us communicate with others around the world easily. It's got so much potential. But we stopped at the potential and we became lazy. The internet, especially social media, has become a giant Jerry Springer show.